Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Always Aggravated, a Mike Valenti signature podcast.
And we are back. It is Always Aggravated. We are with you. Time of taping. I don't know. What day is it? It's Tuesday. It's we're heading towards noon. Side note, you will hear Sully doing the interview with Dave Richard. I was unable to be here as I've got some sad stuff behind the scenes I'm taking care of as Leo, the legend of our radio program. Obviously, I have two dogs, but who am I kidding? I like Leo better. Leo is my guy. Otis is more of a mama's boy. The point is, I am going to have to put Leo down tomorrow. Yeah. So that is a sad start. But, Mikey, thank you for covering with Dave. Mm. I know Dave was very understanding. He sent me a very nice text. It was very kind of him. Roberto, you have this morbid fascination, like you're sitting there with your hands in your crotch and you're just like, like really red. You're like,
what?
I want to ask you some things. And I'm what? Like, what do you want to ask? Like what?
Because I'm going to have to do this soon. I'm going to have to do this process of, you know, my dog is, well, he's only like seven now. So he's like, what, midlife?
What kind of breed is he?
Our one dog, the oldest dog, he's like a mutt. He's like a Beagle, Basset, Jack Russell mix.
Beagles
looks like Snoopy.
Beagles live forever, I'll tell you that. Beagles will get 12, 13 years old.
And then we have a full Basset.
I don't know anything about Basset.
But he's still a baby.
They terrify me with that howl.
Yeah, he talks to you. He'll talk to you.
But what do you want to know? What do you need to know from me?
So, and the crazy thing is you probably care for your dogs more than I take care of human beings.
I know that's not the case.
No, I'm just saying.
All jokes aside, I mean, I disagree.
But you're always up to date on the vet stuff.
Yeah, but I disagree with a lot of your parenting decisions, but you take great care of your kids. Those kids don't go for want.
You do.
You do everything for those kids.
No, yeah.
That's why you dress like such a slob.
Right.
So they can wear Gucci.
And they do every day. So, but yeah, you know, I always worry about, am I doing the best that I can do, like bringing them to their regular appointments and making sure they got their
dogs,
making sure they have their, you know, the regular, you know, stuff that they need. And I don't know.
What are you asking me? You need to communicate better. You're in the communication business.
Well, first I got to know, is this going to be a costly thing when this happens?
What do you mean?
When they have to be put down?
You do get charged. It's not free.
Oh.
I mean, look, I'll define it as a couple $100.
No.
Different vets, it costs different stuff. And then people lose their minds and do other things, but I'm not going to get into that.
No,
I'm not bringing the vet to the house. I find that creepy.
Yes, you know what? I did wonder that because an option.
That's one of two ways to do it, yeah.
No, I don't get it.
So what, you go in there, you'll be in the vet's office, you'll just say your piece and...
I scheduled it today.
But you don't watch it, right?
No, I'm going to be there.
You're going to... Oh, my 100%. God.
100%.
Oh.
Why would I want the last person he sees to be a stranger?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want to leave him alone in a room without us there?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I do that? Ask yourself that question.
Can I do that?
It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to hurt. Mm-hmm. That's the whole premise of if you've ever loved something, it's supposed to hurt when it goes. Like, yeah. I mean, Roberto, the popular thing people are doing now, which me and my wife decided that ain't happening, is you bring the vet to your house
right.
And they do it there.
Right.
I don't want that memory in my home.
Yeah.
No.
And I'm not comfortable with it. Now, and look, I'm not judging anyone who does it. That's actually become the norm.
Yes.
Right. Wow.
No, my parents just did that a couple years ago, and they had never done that before.
In your house?
Yes, in their home.
Can you take me through that? No, and there will be zero jokes from me?
No,
I need to hear this.
Honestly, so my parents, we had a dog that was a golden retriever that had got up in age, and they had to unfortunately put him down. Great dog. This was a dog that I grew up with. But my parents sadly had to put him down, and I remember my mom telling me, she said, yeah, you know, we've actually never kind of heard of this method of doing it, but yep. The vet comes to the home, and we're going to try this. So I said, okay, you know, whatever you want. And they had the vet come to the home, and afterwards they said, honestly, we were kind of skeptical about it, but they said, hey, it was incredibly peaceful. Of course, we cried and stuff, but it was putting him to rest, you know, where he's comfortable. We didn't have to take him in, and the vet was super nice. They came in. They couldn't have been more respectful, and it went well, which I was thrilled to hear.
See, the good thing with Leo, the vet has never been an anxiety thing for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's Mr. Social. He loves it. He goes in there, shakes his ass. He's excited. He wants to talk to the dogs. He's a big flirt, so he gets lots of treats from the ladies. It's never been a big deal, so I'm not dealing with the dog that gets kind of shaky or weird about the vet. I don't know.
Well, my parents' dog, our dog growing up, it had gotten to a point where it would have been difficult to even ask him to get into the car, to transport him there and everything.
See, then you got to do it.
Yeah, and that's the other thing.
Which made sense.
I guess, Roberto, your question relates to also is, are you making the right choice? Because when you think about it, you're ending a living being's life.
Yeah.
And they don't really get a say in it.
It's crazy.
So I thought a lot about it. You know, I went in yesterday in the morning because I thought it was just kind of, I thought it was his allergy again. Like once in a while, he likes to nibble on mulch. And it triggers his lymph nodes kind of puff up. And I just thought it was that again. So, you know, I told Mel, I'm like, hey, I got a hole in my schedule here. Like, call the vet. I'll get him in the morning. And I brought him in. And right away, I knew something was up. Because the doc had a different tone when she saw him. And then, you know, they did some tests. And when I was sitting in there for like 30 minutes, that's when I'm like, okay, we got a real problem here. And she's like, hey, you know, come with me. And again, I'm like, all right, now we're down to DEFCON 2.
Right.
And then when she opens the door and it's like six nurses, three vets, and they've got an x-ray up, I'm going, all right, we're at DEFCON 1. So that's when it hits you. And then she started explaining, you know, and I mean, it's lymphoma. There's nothing you can do. Like it happens fast in people. It can happen even faster in dogs, like weeks.
Is it more common with that breed?
No, it's just dogs. Like so she showed me the x-ray and like, I'm like, all right. So I stopped her midway through. I said, look, just do we, I didn't say what are our options because I had already figured out where I was at. I said, you know, do we have any options? And it's a hard choice because she laid out one option and it's, you know, and again, if you're an animal person, I think you'll get it. If you're not, you're going to go, oh, my God, this is ridiculous. It's a personal decision you make. But the option would have been, you know, a mega dose of steroids, chemo, oncologist.
Mm.
And I stopped there halfway through and I went, all right, two questions. A, can he beat it? And B, what's his quality of life? And she really couldn't give me a great answer about quality of life. I said, right, so the quality of life isn't good, and the best we could do is get it into remission, but it's going to come back.
Yeah.
So I said to her, I said, look, shoot me straight. And same thing with the other vet who was there. You know, and some of the nurses are tearing up. It was a disaster. He's a popular animal at that place.
That's so sad.
It was, you know, I just said, look, well, how much time do we have? And then that's where you could hear a pin drop. Because then it was, I wouldn't wait more than a week. That's how fast it's progressing. And that's, you know, again, I mean, I'm not going to like dissect the x-ray, but it's not good. And it's a super aggressive form. So like, I made the decision then. I said, all right, well, look, I'll beat you to the punch. We're not waiting a week. Because she's like, well, he's really uncomfortable now. And that can turn into, I go, look, it's all suffering on one level or another. I said, just let me talk to my wife and I'll call you in 24 hours. So I talked to Mel last night, and it was, you know, I think the hard part, there's no good time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? Oh, I'll be ready on Wednesday. That you're not.
Never going
to
be ready.
Right. So what I, you know, you just come to a decision. And that was the thing while I was watching Monday Night Football last night is I was just doing so much reading. Like, am I doing the right thing? Am I making the right call? And it's universal. You're not going to beat aggressive lymphoma in a dog. Like, you just not. You might get it into remission, but when it comes back, and it will come back, it's generally in dogs, it's going to be hyper-resistant to treatment, and it's going to kill your dog. Mm. So why, you know, why? Like, why do that to him? You know, and why? And that's even if you got it into remission. And then I had to go back today and just talk to them and just say, hey, look, you know, you basically look someone point blank and you look at a vet and you go, hey, tell me I'm making the right move here. And that's how you know. And you just got to do it. So, like, I think the thing you question, am I doing the right thing?
Yep.
B, I guess I'm just different than a lot of animal lovers, is that I don't get selfish.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people get selfish with it and do right. what's best for me.
Right.
I can't. I mean, I took
I see out. What you're doing is the most unselfish thing you can do.
I have to, because I just, dude, it's like.
And I can't make the decision. I've never had that to make this decision, but it's almost like people that,
you'll know.
You know, that keep their family member on life support or something. Well, and but, yeah. you know, and I'm not, I thank God I've never been there, and maybe I would be one of those people. I don't know, but, you know, it's crazy.
Even last night, I mean, I was hanging out with him, you know, watching Monday Night Football, and he just doesn't look right. You know, you can see it in his eyes. He's not happy. He's exhausted. He can't sleep comfortably. Like, this is rapidly attacking his body.
See,
I mean,
Mike,
it was 2 weeks ago we brought him in thinking it was the allergy, got him the medicine. It was his nickname there is Chips, because once in a while he treats mulch like chips. But, like, I brought him back in. Some of the lymph nodes had gone down. Others had puffed up. So they did a more aggressive, you know, they did an x-ray and it showed a lot of stuff in places we never would have seen it. Like, there's just no way to see it when he's got, it's in his chest, and it's just, long story short, like, I don't know, like, what are you doing? You know, you got to do what's right, and it just sucks. Like, his whole personality over the last 72 hours has shifted where he's just,
wow,
it's a disaster. So I don't know, man, you just know you're making the right call. But, like, the shittiest thing is, like, you're going in and you're prepaying to kill your dog. Like, literally, I had to go in this morning and I had to, like, they're not going to hit you with a bill like, hey, how was your service today? Yeah, we just put our dog down. Well, here's your bill. No, you prepay the bill.
Right.
And then they ask you, you know, a couple questions and things. But, like, you know, I set it up and they told me the availability they want. And they kind of put it towards, at least this is the place I'm using. It's where I've used for over a decade. They're fabulous. They kind of put it mid to late afternoon, kind of end of day, like 3:30, because they don't want to be at work either.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, certain dogs, they see them once, but, like, this is a dog they've seen, geez, man, two, three times a year for a decade. Like, he's a popular guy. So it's the end of the day and we'll go in and do it. But, you know, yeah, prepaying, it's not swiping for a gallon of milk. That's the conflicted part as I'm sitting here now, is like, the finality of the decision you've made, you know, the animal doesn't get to dictate, and you hope you're doing the right thing. You hope you are.
Yeah, you are.
But you don't know.
See, now, that's what I'm curious about, because I didn't grow up with a pet. Yeah. I didn't have a dog. I was close to three dogs in my extended family. And when they, you know, when this situation had to happen, or when one of them was poisoned by a neighbor, but
oh my God,
when they died, it was tough. Yeah, intentionally. It was a wild story. But when they died, it was tough. And I, you know, I wasn't in the house with them all the time. But I'm curious on the emotional impact, because my mother-in-law is currently, I would say, close to this situation with her dog. And I thought I would be whatever, because I couldn't stand the dog, or, you know, but growing up, seeing this dog around my kids, you know, you have kids now in the family, and then they're protective over the kids, and, you know, the kids start crying when they're a baby, and then they're barking at you, take care of this baby, you know. You become close to this pet. It's a family member. So I'm curious on the emotional impact this has, because, like you said, you went to take care of what you needed to take care of today, knowing that's the final.
It's the worst.
But there's always that kind of guy. Like my dad, I remember, you know, we had a dog in the house, a little Maltese, and, you know, he would pronounce up and down that he hated the dog. He didn't give a shit about the dog. Mm-hmm. He, you know, he'd get that goddamn thing out of here.
Yeah.
But
you probably got brought to his knees when he said goodbye.
Right. And then, but you would notice it when my grandmother wasn't around to take care of the dog. My dad would be the one to make sure the dog had food and was fed and all that stuff, but still would be, you know, indignant.
Roberto, that's exactly how I feel about my mother-in-law's dog. I can't stand him, couldn't stand him. But you get into this point, and I'm like, what would it be without this dog?
Well, there it is. Now, I mean, it's like that's the I think that's the strange part is like if and again, I don't begrudge anybody if they're not animal lovers. I get that. Mm-hmm. I hate cats. Some people love cats, don't like dogs. I'm a dog person. I think it's interesting is like the relationship you have with dogs is different than people because dogs simply bring only the good stuff about us to the table. Yeah. They don't bring any of the bad stuff. Like if you had four checkpoints with dogs, it's unconditional love. There's zero judgment, right? You don't get that with most people in your life.
Unless they crap in the house or something, and then you know I'll yell.
But that's your fault, though. That's not the dog's fault.
Right.
That's not the dog's fault. Like, what are they supposed to do? Call you on your cell? No, it's unconditional love. There's no judgment. They are great at reading the room and understanding where you're at for the day.
Yep.
It's a loyalty you don't get from 99% of people in your life. And it's just, dogs are really the high point of what human beings bring to the table. So, look, man, I mean, for some people it doesn't connect. And that's cool. I mean, shit, people like golf. I don't like golf.
Oh, how dare you?
No, I'm just saying, like, it's you either get it or you don't. And I don't get golf, but I get dogs. And that's the hard part.
Let me ask you this. So I was looking into some things myself. Are you...
You're what?
Are you going to be cremating or...
Oh, yeah. Or, you know, that's... I told him I gotta, I don't know. That's not my call. I don't have a need for it. If Mel wants it, we'll do it.
There's an option now where you can.
No, don't even say it because what? I will punch you in the throat.
What?
These people taxidermying their pets.
No.
Absolutely
you
not.
You can take the ashes from the cremation and have them pressed into a vinyl record. It's a clear vinyl record, and you can see the ashes in it.
How are we talking about vinyl now?
It would have his favorite song on it.
No, listen.
Oh, my
what?
God.
Listen.
I'm just saying. Listen.
No, but I don't want you to get mad about it, but is taxidermy an option?
People do that.
Oh, yeah.
People do it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
I couldn't even... I can't even imagine
that. That is Pet Cemetery.
Yeah.
Nah, man. I got plenty of pictures. I'm good.
Whoa.
Like, that's... Yeah, no. I'll say goodbye tomorrow. I left that option open because I didn't want to speak for her. And she was unavailable, being that she's educating the youth at the time I was there. I'll talk to her about it tonight. She can do what she wants to do. I'll leave it in her hands. But
imagine if you had just made the decision yourself.
No. I mean, how?
To taxidermy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you bring him home, and he's in an action pose. Yeah, wow. We're doing a celebration of life of Leo as Michigan pounds us without mercy Saturday.
If you did that, I would never show up at your house again.
Can you imagine if I don't laugh, I'll cry. But like, yeah, you taxidermy him in the Heisman Trophy pose.
Oh, my God.
Like an estate jersey. Well, that's absurd.
No, maybe something more classy would be like, maybe you should have like a nice oil painting in the house.
Oh, the Costanza?
Nice canvas.
Yeah. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good, man.
Come on.
Man, I got pictures and it's... I don't know. Like, I think if people are thinking about getting a dog, you can't go, oh, well, I never want to do this, so I'll never get one.
That's where I'm at, though, now, with this story.
You'll miss out on a decade of good times.
Right. For a week of, he had a bad couple weeks, but he had 10 years of good times.
Right. I don't know. I mean, look, I guess the other thing, too, is I'm trying to keep perspective in it. And I think that's, dude, it's so key in life. And it's, you know, something I've worked on the last 5 or 6 years to try to have better perspective for myself on things. But like, my dad had to make these decisions with his own parent. I mean, that's all coming for us guys.
Yeah.
Like, let's just be real. There are going to be people listening to this who right now have to make the decision to put their parent in a home.
Yeah.
Have that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, have to wipe your parents' ass after they shit themselves in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's all coming for us. Right. Okay. So you get the point. Like, there is a perspective here where, hey, man, I love him to death, but there's going to be bigger challenges down the road.
Yep.
It's just, I don't know. It's weird, too. Like, I have the other dog, and, you know, I was talking to a buddy who grew up with two dogs and lost one of them, and, it tripped the other pet out. Like, the other pet grieved and kind of didn't know, like, where's, I forget the name of the dog. Shame on me. But he's like, where's Bobby? You know,
who the hell would name their dog Bobby? I don't know. Where's
Bobby?
Where's Cookie? But no, like, I, you know, that's, you know, of course I'm already thinking about, like, there's no way I'm going to have a one dog household.
Mm. Right.
I'm going to have to, but I can't run out and get another dog now.
No. Right. It would be disrespectful.
Oh, it would be. And plus, I got to be honest, I don't know that I'd like the new one nearly as much as I like this one.
Right. Yeah, you will.
Nah, I don't think so. Yeah.
Take time.
Listen, this is, what did they call Justify when he won the Triple Crown? He was the horse of a lifetime. This is a dog of a lifetime. This dog was a gentleman. He was a legend. Do you know how much shitty sports he watched with me?
That poor dog.
And great sports.
Yeah, well, Michigan State football was his primary highlight. Yeah. But, like, man, can you imagine this animal?
Great dog.
Is 10 and change. He has watched every Lions game every Sunday, sometimes twice on the quick cut. And this, I mean, how many Pistons from 2009 to now?
Oh.
I mean, really. Tigers.
No playoffs.
Yeah, no playoffs. Right. Yeah, no playoff win.
Tigers have been pretty damn bad for a majority of his life. I mean, it's, you know how much bad. He's also, yeah, he watched a lot of League Pass, too. A lot of Jazz, you know, Jazz Raptors at 10:30 at night.
Come on.
Hey, guys, let's take a minute to talk about our signature sponsor here, the D Las Vegas. Now, I know Roberto, the last time I saw him with his legs crossed like this, leaning back with a grin on his face, was at the Long Bar. Lord knows how many drinks deep you were. But the D Las Vegas has got it all. We just got a foot of snow here in Detroit. Do you want to endure this? Or do you want to get away? Be in a place like Vegas that hasn't seen snow ever. Check out the D. Save on the room. Get out and about. Go on a tour of the facility, so to speak. And take a look at the horse racing game on the second floor where Sully is passed out face first. It's a big time. TheD.com to book your stay today. They got the Long Bar, the Sportsbook, Circa Sports now open at their sister property down the street at Golden Gate. So much to do, so little time. It's TheD.com to book your stay today. It's the D Las Vegas. It's your home for sports in Vegas. Here's my question. Like, David and Sully, you guys don't own pets. But, Sully, you just bought a house, so that comes into play.
Yeah,
comes
absolutely.
Into
something
play.
I've been thinking about. Yeah.
David, like, you have two young boys, and that dog will be their best friend, or depending on the breed you buy, it'll be their biggest protector.
Yep.
Like, is there any consideration?
Oh, yeah, there's a consideration. I'm just waiting on the kids to be more responsible, but it will happen.
I'll tell you what you get if you got two little kids. You can go both ends of the spectrum.
And I already know what I want, so.
Let me hear it.
I want a German Shepherd. Mm. I want a German Shepherd because.
Have we had this conversation?
Well, because I just talked about the three dogs that.
Hold on. We just had a moment.
Yes.
What, you do. My right hand to God, I was going to say German Shepherd.
Seriously?
Yeah, because if you train a German Shepherd right.
Yes.
The German Shepherd will assume the role of protector willingly.
Yes.
Not something you instill in them.
Yes.
And if need be, that German Shepherds have a just a surgical ability to know the absolute moment that those kids are about to be in danger.
Yes.
That dog will take a bullet for those kids. I'm not kidding. Yes. You can read about this. You train a German Shepherd right. That dog, it's like having a second dad in the house.
Wow. Yes.
Well, I can't believe you said that.
Well, because I have history with a German Shepherd. You met my uncle, Sully. I think you met my uncle.
Oh, he wears two bow ties.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Yep. He was a fireman. They had a German Shepherd. This was one of the dogs I was close to. They had a German Shepherd. You know, but firemen, they're gone 24 on, 24 off, all that stuff. The German Shepherd knew when my uncle was gone. It would come upstairs every time he was at work and go in the room with my aunt to protect my aunt and the kids and my cousins.
I totally agree.
Every single time he would just know, like, all right, it's my turn. Come on upstairs and lay in that room. And when he heard something, he would get up and do what he needed to do. That's why I love German Shepherds.
No, there's no question. I can't believe. Wow.
They probably shed a lot, though.
They do shed a lot, but you know, you get the dog, you got to be prepared for it.
Yeah.
What about Bull Mastiff?
I've had a history with those.
Oh, my.
Yeah, my uncle died in Atlanta.
Their craniums, like the size of the fucking and so watermelon.
And so were their shits.
True.
Was there a human back? Was there a 300-pound man in our backyard?
That just happened. No, you know the other dog that's wonderful for children, but I can't recommend it because of the health problems? Is an English bulldog.
I was going to say that.
English bulldogs are notorious for their patience.
Yep.
So kids, they can't crack them. Like, literally, kids could be messing with the dog.
Getting right in their face.
and the dog will not
give them what they want. Like, yeah. It'll teach kids all about determination. But the problem with English, and I originally was going to get an English when I got Leo. And after doing the research, and I talked to a buddy of mine who was a vet, and he just goes, look, man, you don't see them in here over the age of 5 without major medical.
Yeah.
And I just...
Expensive.
Look, it's also about fairness. You know, like I had looked at, like I love Dobermans. I think Dobermans are gorgeous. They're beautiful animals. They're incredibly intelligent.
My wife wants that.
But they live to like 6 or 7 years because of, I forget if it's a heart issue or a brain issue, or like their brain never stops growing. I don't know, whatever it is. The point is, I can't do that. Like Leo, it was supposed to be between 10 and 12 is what you get out of a French bulldog. Mm. Unfortunately, he's on the short side of it. But overall, like, yeah, I mean... That's the other thing, too, is if you're going to do it, you got to get something that works for your lifestyle. Like, are you going to be home to exercise that dog? Like, I'm not home enough to do that. And no, I'm not going to go and go, well, listen, you know, like David will name his horse Roethlisberger. Like,
Roebanger.
Like, no, I'm not taking...
A-B.
Yeah, A-A-B. I'm not taking A-B for a walk at 9 o'clock at night in the snow because he hasn't had his twice daily exercise. Uh-huh. I'm not doing it.
Right.
So that's the hard part. Like, Sully, I mean, are you... I know you say that the missus isn't moving in anytime soon.
No.
But we know she has a toothbrush there, and we know we know she's moving in, so... When, it's not if, but when will you get a dog?
Well, I see you more as a cat guy.
I mean,
guy.
Believe me, I have this conversation. I have this conversation all the time because she always tries to convince me to.
Sully just petting his pussy.
Of course, like Roberto would say. No,
come on. I needed a laugh, will you? It's been a tough 2 days.
She asked me, wants me to get a cat. She wants me to get a dog. I've been very firm on no to a cat. I've said, yeah, I'll consider getting a dog. You know, I'm not going to get one in the winter. Maybe in the spring, summer, I'd consider it more. But I'm definitely considering a dog. Now, what kind of dog? I can go either way on that. I'm not, like, steadfast on getting a certain type of dog, so I got to do my research on that.
What about a Leo?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I love your French Bulldogs. Anything is on the table. I gotta really do my research and figure out which would be best.
Yeah,
what's a really weird dog he could get? Like a
weird dog?
Yeah, like a hot dog dog?
Or no, dachshunds. Yeah. You know, I have a friend who's got two of those. I forget. God, shame on me. I only know the name of one of them. The point is, they love dachshunds, the little hot dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hilarious. But, like, it was funny. The weird part, too, though, and I assume this is. I don't know. Don't parents celebrate when all the kids move out of the house?
I can't wait. So
right.
Yeah.
Like, I would imagine parents pop bottles, but like this is the opposite.
I don't
like,
see that happening ever.
But. It's going to be really, it'll be really weird. Like I'll have a couple people over on Saturday for the state game. Mm-hmm. Nothing big or anything. It'll be incredibly strange for him not to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So weird.
Yeah.
Like that's, or even like my wife goes to bed earlier than I do. Cause again, like she's up at 5:30 in the morning. Like nights. Oh yeah. I mean it'll be very strange where like, you know, like you can tell who's walking around your home. Like if you have two kids and a wife, you know, the walks.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Know who's about to enter that room.
Yes.
It'll be strange for him not to be rumbling down the stairs to come and watch Warriors Kings at 10:30 at
now,
night.
Is your wife going tomorrow too, tomorrow afternoon, or is it just you?
Yeah. No, she wants to go.
Gotcha.
I told her, I said, listen, I'll handle it if you want. But I told her, I said, I do think you will regret not being there.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. This is also a part of it, Roberta. You asked the question, like, there's no edict where life is always supposed to be fun. There are going to be difficult things here.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I've come to grips with it. Like, no, it doesn't mean I'm not sad. It doesn't mean it's not going to beat me up. But, like, I also was there to see the x-ray. You know, I also... have a good stock of what we're dealing with here. And the longer we wait, the bigger chance he's going to be in some real pain, and I'm just not going
to
allow it.
Mm-hmm. Well, my thing, you know, the first thing I go to yesterday, because I'm in a total, like, juvenile state, and I was like, let him eat steak. Give him him some,
like, you're going
to
want
him to eat like a king.
You're going to want him to spend his last hours, you know, with diarrhea. That's, no, that's just not what we're going to do.
I guess that's wrong.
But no, I, you know, like I said, so...
I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'll probably be in a decently bad mood the rest of the week, and then we'll figure it out. Man. But, like, it's shit. But what I would say, if there is a lesson in this, do not allow the pain of saying goodbye to outweigh the joy of ownership.
Yeah.
Trust me. You got a good memory basket that is filled with 1,000. And if this is the bad, along with the one time he got into something and got sick everywhere and I had to take the living room area
room. Oh, remember that story.
My point is, good, 1,000. Bad, 6. And you just have to view it that way. And it's like, I don't know. I can't imagine our life, you know, I don't know where our life's going to go, and I don't know if we'll end up turning around and having kids or not. I don't think so. But, like, I can't imagine, regardless of what we end up doing, our house not having a couple dogs. I just can't. I don't know. Like, it sounds stupid, but, like, they're like members of your family. It's just what it is. It's what it becomes.
Mm-hmm. Well, when my wife and kids brought home the second dog— this hasn't even been a year yet.
Which was against your will.
I was so defiant, and I was like, God damn it, why are we doing this? This is just ridiculous.
No more. Now he's your favorite.
Oh, now I'm in his business 24/7. The Beagle Basset is Bobo.
Excuse me?
Bobo.
Bobo.
Yeah. But that's his actual birth is like Bo, B-E-A-U.
Bobo.
Right.
Okay, and what's the other one?
And
if it's embarrassing, you don't have to say.
Well, the other dog, he already had a name when we got him, and he had his collar, he had his name tag and everything. We had, you know, rescued him from a family who just didn't want him anymore.
What's his name?
And he is Herman.
Herman. Now, see, I like that. I got a buddy.
Herman
who
Moore.
Herm. I say Herm.
I got a buddy who lives in San Francisco, and he bought a Bernese Mountain Dog.
Ooh.
He named it Kevin.
Yeah, that's kind of
bad.
Yeah, like
Kevin.
That.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, what's your dog's name?
Bob. Kevin, yeah.
Peter.
John.
Derek.
Yeah. Michael. Derek. Well, Big Power's at it again. That's right. Leaving you in the dark, and they don't give a damn about you. Flashlights, candles, who cares? It's a nightmare. Don't do it anymore. Go solar with Power Home Solar. They make it easy to switch. They hook you up with battery storage with your installation, so no more searching for a flashlight when Big Power leaves you in the dark again. Own your power, don't rent it. Power Home, number one residential solar provider in the state, one of the top solar installation companies in the nation. Power Home installs American-made panels, 30-year warranty, so you own your power. You don't just rent it from the power company. As an official partner of the Lions, they've installed solar panels at Ford Field, Allen Park, and they are building a movement towards cleaner, greener energy. You want to see if solar's right for you? Go to powerhome.com. That's powerhome.com, or you simply give them a call, 1-800-SOLAR-15. Schedule your free solar consultation today. Don't rent your power. Own it with help from Power Home Solar.
Okay, that time of the week, and it's always a pleasure to be joined by the legendary CBS Sports Dave Richard. Now, Dave, I believe you invented the auction draft format, right?
Yes, that's right. In fact, I'm the reason why auctions exist anyway. eBay, Christie's, right. Whatever. I invented the gavel. I invented auctions, and yes, of course, auction fantasy league.
Very,
I wish I could take credit for that. I'd be loaded.
Very impressive. Yeah, you would be. Oh, my God, the technology behind that or the principle, whatever. Okay, so, Dave, million questions for you this week, but I want to start with just simply put, do you have a guy in mind, number one waiver wire acquisition here, and I can't believe I'm saying it, week 11 already?
Yeah, I can't believe it's week 11 either, and I think it's Brian Hill of the Atlanta Falcons. Whether you need a running back or not, we know that Devontae Freeman is going to miss at least a game or two, it sure seems like, which means that Hill is going to fall into the lead running back role in Atlanta.
Mm.
And I'm in the middle of watching his film from last week against New Orleans. And granted, it's New Orleans, one of the toughest run defenses in the NFL. And he looked okay. Like, he's definitely got some juice to his game. In blitz pickup, he actually managed to do well on one. I was impressed by it. Really good speed to the edge. He was outrunning defenders there. And any running back that's going to have a shot at getting over 15 touches in a game is good news for fantasy managers. But one that's going to take on a Panthers defense that's been dreadful against the run over their last four games. Think about this. Four of the last five running backs Carolina's faced has had at least 18 non-PPR fantasy points.
Wow.
He's given up 11 touchdowns to running backs in their last five games. This is who Brian Hill is going to see. So the one-time former college teammate of Josh Allen, and he had big numbers at Wyoming, for whatever that's worth, he's going to get a good chance now with Atlanta. He'll probably still share with somebody like Kenyon Barner, Cadre Allison. They'll get in the mix a little bit, but Hill will be that lead guy, and I think he just might have a little bit more wiggle to his game and speed in his legs than what Devontae Freeman has.
Well, and speaking of running backs, my God, there's a lot of questions this week about running backs that people have, but how about Arizona? Kenyon Drake, in his second game with the Cardinals, he doubled up the number of rushing attempts as David Johnson and was far more efficient. But do you honestly believe this is going to be Kenyon Drake's show moving forward?
If David Johnson plays like he did on Sunday, then yes.
Okay.
I do believe that, because David Johnson did not look like himself. He was either, he didn't get a lot of run, but on one of his carries, he either looked like he was trying to be like the most patient running back in the history of professional football, or he was slow and lacked explosiveness and really just wasn't the same David Johnson that we've come to know. And I think Cliff Kingsbury realized it too, and he kind of used that fumble that he had as an excuse to bench him and to go with Drake, because we saw from Drake two games ago that he's got some serious firepower right now, and he's a good fit for that Arizona offense. And he didn't quite show that on Sunday against Tampa Bay. And again, another really tough run defense. The Bucs have been really good in that regard. But I think Drake might be the better running back in Arizona moving forward. And I would certainly start him against San Francisco again next week, particularly with the 49ers. No Quan Alexander in the middle of that defense. And they just got done playing 74 snaps on Monday night. Now they've got to turn around and get ready for Arizona on Sunday. I think there's actually a sneaky opportunity for Drake to be good in DFS, and I think if you've got him on your team, you've got to consider him a low-end number two running back.
Sure. Now, you also mentioned a guy, you said Josh Allen about a minute ago. What about head over to Buffalo, the Bills running back situation? What do you make of that right now, Devin Singletary? Your take on that whole thing?
You know, they did not use Devin Singletary enough last week, and it was a good matchup against Cleveland. They should have run him at least 15 times. What do you have, like 8 carries in the game? It was pathetic, and he had 6-plus yards on half of those 8 carries, and he was on the field at the end of the game. Frank Gore struggled near the goal line. I wonder if we're just going to see Devin Singletary take on an even larger role. And this happened 2-3 weeks ago, where Singletary was clearly the better back. The media questioned the Bills, why didn't you use him more? And then he went out and he had 20 carries, and the Bills were rolling. Another matchup comes up against Miami that's really favorable for Devin Singletary. He's went to college in South Florida. I believe he's from South Florida as well.
Yep.
So kind of a homecoming for him. I think Devin Singletary is absolutely, if you used him last week, don't be depressed about it. And start him again this week against the Dolphins.
Now, a couple other names to throw out at you before we get to certainly some questions as well. But how about your outlook on Ronald Jones right now?
Rojo had a great game, right? 100 yep. yards, touchdown, 8 catches. But, man, he did not run well between the tackles. He had a fumble on a reception in the game. I don't know. I think he's still, and Bruce Arians said as much, he's a work in progress as far as being a capable NFL back, certainly a three-down back. There were a bunch of catches they had in the game where the ball kind of, you know, juggled in his hands a little bit before he actually secured it and went on to make a play. He's got some good traits. There's no question about it. He's a much better player than he was at this time last year. But I think it's a trap to think that he's going to get you 100 total and a touch every single week, especially this week against New Orleans. And I'm not convinced he's going to have a lot of catches each week moving forward, and a lot being 5+.
Yeah.
I think he might be able to remember coming into this game, Sully, he only had his max performance this year in catches was like 2.
Right.
I don't think he had more than 2 catches in the game at all this year, and I think 4 catches is his career high. I think this is a good time to sell high on Ronald Jones. So if you're in a fantasy league, you've got Jones, you picked him up maybe last week, see what you can get for him, because someone might buy into him for a lot more than what he should buy in for. I think this is his best game of the year that he just had. He won't be better than this. Plus, we're going to see more of Peyton Barber. Bruce Arians said after the game that he liked having Peyton Barber fresh for the fourth quarter. And Barber was in there scoring touchdowns, had a better rushing average than Ronald Jones over the course of the game. And, good to see Peyton Barber kind of bounce back a little bit here, too.
Dave Richards, CBS Sports. Now, Dave, I got to ask, I got to have a selfish question for you here, because I'm biased on two fronts. A, I'm a lifelong Lions fan. And B, I have Marvin Jones on my team. But I do think that this question I'm about to ask you is also very relevant from a national perspective as well for anyone playing fantasy. What do you make of the value of Lions receivers if Stafford goes on IR, or just even simply put, without Matthew Stafford in this offense, how do you value the Lions wide receivers?
Well, I think you saw pretty clearly that Jeff Driskel isn't anywhere near good enough to make these guys great. I mean, if you give Stafford that type of pass attempt workload, even against Chicago, I think the numbers for both Jones and Galladay would have been a lot better. I think the numbers for Amendola would have been better, too. I'm definitely concerned. I think with both receivers, Jones and Galladay, you need them to score touchdowns to really come through for fantasy purposes. Galladay did exactly that against the Bears. And it was one of the few deep throws that Jeff Driskel, A, completed, and B, attempted. So I'm nervous about Galladay. His value actually went down despite scoring a touchdown, having a good game last week. And I think Marvin Jones, what do you have, 5 catches, 70-some-odd yards? I almost think that you expect that from him every week. And that will probably be the case with Jeff Driskel. The bigger issue here is that the Lions just can't run the ball.
Oh, no.
Why they didn't put in a waiver claim for Mike Davis is beyond me. I think Mike Davis could have helped out their run game a little bit. They're sticking with what they have now. And what they have now is really, really heinous. And having Jeff Driskel as the quarterback to try and kind of coordinate all that, I think that's rough. So because they'll throw a lot and because their defense just hasn't been playing to expectations either, I think that gives Galladay and Jones a chance every week. But you shouldn't have huge expectations. You can't start Galladay anymore and say, all right, number one fantasy stud receiver. I think that that's a little bit out the window so long as Stafford is sidelined. And the other issue is that the more Driskel plays, the more likely it is the Lions lose, the more likely it is they say, all right, we're not going anywhere this year. Let's let Matthew Stafford rest up. And now, bang, we're not seeing Stafford at all the rest of the season.
All right, one more big picture question for you before we get to the rapid fire. Dave, what would be, and let me ask it this way, what would be your biggest piece of advice for everyone out there right now preparing for fantasy football playoffs? Because what I mean by that is you go online, you see people saying, hey, here's some guys you should stash for the playoffs. Or hey, make sure you're looking at each team's schedule to see what matchup's the most favorable. Do you have any, I guess, general piece of advice for anyone thinking, you know what, I got to start really preparing for my playoffs. I'm going to be in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I do. There's three types of fantasy managers at this point in the season. There's the ones that have a terrible record, 7 losses or more. They know they're not going anywhere. They can pack it in. You know, they should still be competitive in their leagues. They should set lineups each week, and it's up to them if they want to, you know, take guys off the waiver wire and play spoiler in their leagues, but they're not making the playoffs. Then there are those that have 6 to 4 losses, and they're competing, contending, trying to get into the fantasy playoffs in their league. It depends on their league. If the first-place team has 3 losses, then I guess they've got a better chance of making it than not. But if you're a playoff contender, you should probably consider making a trade. And if you're like a cinch for the playoffs, you're 10-0, you're 9-1, something like that, you also might want to consider making a trade. The two types of trades that you usually see this time of year, Sully, are 2-for-1 deals, where a team will give up 2 really good players for 1 stud, or 2 flexish type players for 1 pretty good player. And the rationale behind that is, I'm fighting to make my playoffs. My starting lineup isn't that good. I've got 5 losses. I've got 6 losses. I need to win now. I will trade an Adam Thielen who can't help me right now, a T.Y. Hilton who can't help me right now, a player that's on bye this week. Aaron Rodgers is someone that you could trade right now just to make a move so you can win now. And the team that's only got 1 loss or 2 losses or no losses, if you're really lucky, that's the team that'll take those players and they'll wait for them to come back. They don't mind so much losing at this point. Their focus is on having a roster full of studs without many lineup decisions by the time week 13-plus rolls around. That's the whole idea. If I've got a team that's 9-1, I don't want to have to make tough lineup decisions that could cost me a win in the fantasy playoffs. I want my studs. I want to know who they are. I want to have my bench behind them as best as it can be. But I really want to make sure I've got that lineup all put together. And the more studs, the more obvious no doubt about it, starters that I have and that I can trade for now, giving up my depth to do so, I will take, because my focus is on the fantasy postseason.
All right, Dave, rapid fire. As little or as much time as you want on this one. Starting with one that kind of confused me because this guy is on my team, and I think he still had, 9.5, 10 points this week. But someone asking, should I keep starting Tevin Coleman?
I think you got to look at him as a number two running back, and I can't help but like the matchup for him this week against Arizona. The one problem is that whether Matt Breida plays or not, he is going to lose work.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's a little bit more touchdown dependent than I really wanted to believe. I know that he had already been getting that work, but now it's pretty clear that if he doesn't get that work, the odds are he's probably not going to get you 100 total yards. So he's still in the starting range, but he's not a number one guy like he had potential to be. Now he's more of a number two and maybe closer to the bottom of that range than the top.
All right, is it safe to say that Robert Woods is droppable?
No, he's not. I disagree with that. I spit in that general direction, Sully. I think that Robert Woods does have some good potential, and you kind of saw it against Pittsburgh. It was a tough matchup, and I know in non-PPR it wasn't an amazing game, and I know that it sucks that he's not scoring touchdowns. But I think Robert Woods is still going to get a lot of work in that LA offense, and as long as Brandon Cooks is away, and it looks like he's going to miss another game, the targets should be there for him, and they need him. Because the run game right now, humongous question mark. Offensive line, big trouble. They need to start scheming up ways to get Robert Woods the ball in the short area. They did that a lot last year, and on screens, end around, stuff like that. He was pretty good. He was getting some good numbers. I still think he's got decent wide receiver two value.
All right, and last one for you, Dave. Can you trust starting Nick Foles as your quarterback the rest of the year?
No. That's easy.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to. Like, that's the other good part about it, is that you don't have to say, all right, well,
yeah,
Nick Foles is out there, I got to get him.
Right.
Who says I got to get Nick Foles besides the Jaguars who went out?
No, I love Nick Foles, but I can't even say that.
Look, I think two quarterbacks that have really nice schedules late in the year are Daniel Jones with the Giants.
Okay.
And Ryan Tannehill with the Titans. Both of them are on bye this week. So you can get them and kind of sit on them. You're not going to use them as soon as they come back off bye. Tannehill's got the Jaguars, and then he's at Indianapolis, and then at Oakland, things get better for him after that. And then with Jones, when he comes off the bye, he's got Chicago. That'll be tough. And then it lightens up Green Bay, Philly, Miami, Washington. Washington in week 16. Your fantasy championship, you might be starting Daniel Jones. I know that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
He could help be a league winner for you. So too could Darius Slayton. So what I would do is, if I'm streaming quarterbacks, I'm not looking at Nick Foles at all. I'm getting Derek Carr for this week, next week, and maybe the week after that. And then I'm going to get Daniel Jones first, and if I can't get him, Ryan Tannehill next. And I'm going to stream those two guys the rest of the way. I would do that ahead of Jared Goff, for example. I'm nervous about Jared Goff without his offensive line, without Brandon Cooks.
Sure.
It could be troublesome for him.
All right, Dave Richard, CBS Sports. Make sure you follow this guy on Twitter, at Dave Richard. You can tweet him all your questions. Dave, anything else to tell the people about?
No, we've got CBS Sports HQ. It's our live 24/7, always-on sports site. We've got highlights, scores, analysis, all the things you need to be a smarter, better sports fan. And we talk a ton of fantasy on there every day, noon Eastern. Fantasy Football Today, it's an hour-long fantasy football talk show to help people win their leagues. It's really as simple as that. You just have to go to cbssportshq.com, and it's free. You don't even have to give us your email. It's TV on anything that gets Wi-Fi, and it's glorious. And I would be watching it even if I didn't work for CBS. It's really a special thing that we've built here, and I hope everybody gives it a shot.
Love it. Dave Richard, thank you as always, my man. We'll talk next week.
You got it. Good luck in your league, Sully.
All right, you too, sir. Dave Richard. Thanks, Dave.
We'll talk to you next week. Subscribe, rate, review. We'll talk to you next week.